Lord laid on my heart. So Jesus has given us this incredible gift, which is this life. It is a gift. It's a gift from him. We've got this life that we get to live amongst his people, and we get to live it for him, and it's incredible. And, you know, I actually felt to ask us the question, is this life that we've been given, is how are we living it? Are we living it in the light of eternity and for Jesus? Or are we living a life in the temporary and for ourselves? Because that's essentially where it is. And as sons and daughters of the living God, we need to live a life that is focused on Jesus, but also a life that lives for eternity, not for the now. Our lives are being shaped for eternity. Our lives are being shaped for an everlasting, never-ending intimacy with him one day. And I think sometimes as Christians we forget about it, especially in this day and age, with so much distraction, with so many voices in our heads, with so many things going on. I think it's very easy to live a life for ourselves and to build our own empire and to build what we feel is great and what we think is good and what we think we should do, rather than, Jesus, what do you have for me? What are you saying? And this eternal life is a beautiful thing. And in 1 John 5:11 to 13, it says, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So interesting group of words, that they are in his Son. "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And there's something beautiful, and I think in Colossians as well, it also talks about being rooted and being in Christ. And there's something that we can take away from that, is that it doesn't say that we need to be with Christ, or we need to be next to him, or, you know, even essentially following him, but we actually need to be in him. And that is all-encompassing. That is everything that we are, is in Christ, submitted under his lordship. And actually, in an essence, if you're in something, let's just use an example. If you're in an aeroplane, you go where that aeroplane goes. You can't decide to, I want to go left if the aeroplane's going right. Well, you could be difficult, but, you know, that would probably be to your death. Which is pretty much like this. We are called to be in Christ. And so we are called to not go like this, because some of us are like this. We go, "Oh, Jesus, you know, I really am needing some finances. So, you know, there's this job that I saw which would be great for me. Lord, will you just give me that job? Because then I know that I'll be able to buy that new Hilux Legend 50, and you know, everything's going to be great. So God, I really need that job. Will you give it to me? That's the one that I know that I need to get." And so that to me sounds very, very opposite of being in Christ. That sounds to me like you are trying to get Christ to be in you, actually, which is completely unbiblical. And there's so many scriptures that actually back this up, of the sense of being in Christ and being submitted fully to the lordship of Christ. And I think something that we constantly want to realign and recalibrate is this. Because Jesus said it, and it's just beautiful. "Not my will, Lord, but yours." That is actually what it is to be a son and daughter of the living God. Not my will. Because my will is a mess. My dreams, pretty much most of the time, don't line up with what you have for me. My desires are probably mostly founded in flesh and what I want. But actually, Jesus, what do you want? Not my will. You have something for me, and I want to step into that, God. So you tell me where to go. And I can't remember who I was chatting to. I chat to a lot of people, and I always say this. But we were talking about the cloud during the day and the fire by night. And isn't that how we should be living our lives? I'm here. The cloud is not moving, then I'm not moving. The cloud moves, or the fire moves, now I'm going to move. And there's such a sense that we get so, I suppose, we want to go. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? What do you have next for me? And those are good questions, but actually to be in a place where you are able to just rest when the cloud is standing still and rest when the fire hasn't moved. But oh my goodness, when it does, make sure you pack up your tent, pack up your belongings, gather your family, and you move, because that is what being obedient is. And it's just such a sense that once again reminding us that our lives are not our own. We're not here for our own desires and our own pleasures and to see what careers we can make and how much money we can make and even the good things, how many people we can help. You know, that's not actually what we are here for, because sometimes people justify it by saying, sure, you know, the way that I serve is I've got a fantastic business, so I give my funds to the, and I could be touching on something sensitive here, but actually I want to bring a bit of truth into this area. So the way that I serve God is by giving my finances. And actually, yes, that's beautiful if your heart is in the right place and your heart is a place of, yes, the Lord has asked me to give finances to the church. But that is not actually what the Lord is after. The Lord is after your heart. And is that person who's giving their finances to the church going, you know what? More importantly than giving my finances to the church is being able to step alongside someone and encourage them when they really need it. Or am I willing to say, I'm willing to lay down that job and that business because you've asked me to. And we know what the Lord says about that, about a rich man going through the eye of needle. This is what not what I wanted to go, but just really something of the difficult challenges that are required when following Jesus. But actually, and I'm going to get to it now, there's such a beautiful, I used this the last time, there's such a beautiful recipe, and there really is, and God gives us such a key. And I had a dream the other night. I shared it with some of you guys about a wildlife park, and I believe you guys were in the dream, so I'm just sharing it with you. The church was the game lodge, and there were lions prowling around the outside, and they I've prayed about this, and I've shared it with one or two of the other elders, and I really felt that this was something significant, so that's why I'm sharing it. And I felt like there were lions around the outside of this game lodge. The game lodge was beautiful. I was sitting on a wall, and I saw someone walking through the game lodge. So looked like he was actually meant to be there. Had a Hannes Dix hat on, one of those round hats. Had a kortbroek and a khaki top. So he looked like and fellies. And he looked like he meant to be there. But he was making his way through the people. And the people that I saw were people that I was familiar with and people that I loved. So, you know, and when I saw the house, I automatically knew that house meant the house of God. And this person made his way through and got past the security and got to the security hut. And I watched it unfold, and he pulled the electric, the thing, and it opened the electric fencing and the gate and allowed the lions to come in. And so just to put it into perspective, I've dreamt twice maybe that I can remember in the last 6 months. So I'd never dream. We all dream. I snore, but I don't remember it. And so I've had two dreams. One I've shared with Yaku because he was in it. Remember about the train? And one was this one. And there was someone actually, weirdly enough, in the dream. It was Kent who runs the church office and heads up finances and admin for the church. And he was the other person in the dream. And so then I knew when I looked to my left, he was in the dream, and we realized we needed to help these people. So to cut a long story short, I got everyone back into the house, and we got into this game lodge house, and the lions were now prowling around and seeing who they could devour. And then a small lion got in. Kent and I managed to get him out. But then what happened was we said, you know what? If we try and last the night, we're not going to make it. We're going to lose people here, because the big lions were starting to come, and they were proper, eh? And they were hungry. So we jumped out, and we said, we got to do it. We just got to go. So we told everyone. I remember Abigail, my youngest daughter, was in the dream, and she was scared, and she was sitting next to me, and I said to her, it's going to be okay. And we ran, and this is the part that I want to say, because I was talking about the keys. And we ran out of the game lodge through this back gate, and up over a hill. On the other side, there was a beach. Wow, amazing, okay. You know, as dreams go. But on the beach was this big safari truck, you know, with the seats all on the back. maybe 20 seats or so. And I was like, sure, there must have been 50 people or 60 people in the lodge. And I thought, this is exactly what we need. We'll be able to get everyone out of here. But the first thing I said to Kent was, do you know how to hotwire this thing in the dream? I remember saying those words because how this is what we need. But we got there and the keys were in the ignition. I remember sharing with Claire and it was just such a sense of that God gives the keys when you need it. And there was just such a sense. We got in, it started, we managed to get back, and we managed to get what I would say in this context would be all of you. But actually, because Kent was in the dream, I actually felt it was actually City on a Hill as a whole, because he represents something of City on a Hill in terms of the global City on a Hill, not just Montana, and we were able to get everyone to safety. And so when I woke up, I shared it with Claire, and I was like, yo, man, I need to share. And she was like straight away, no, That's not a pizza dream. There's something spiritual behind it. We need to pray into that and hear what it is. And so why I shared it with you is because there's something that I believe the Lord is doing in each and every single one of our lives. And yes, the enemy is walking around like a prowling lion. And yes, you could interpret it. Yes, maybe has been someone on the inside who's gone and let him in. And this is a real thing. Well, we are family. I'm sharing openly. Maybe. But the interesting thing, and I did share it with someone in the congregation, was that right in the beginning, I was sitting on the wall. I was sitting on the wall, and I could see. And there were these cement walls, started with electric fencing at the bottom with a pillar, and then cement at the top, and then more electric fencing and a pillar. So weird design. But I was sitting on top of this high wall, and there was something significant about that. That the Lord has put gatekeepers and elders in place for a reason. He's put them there for a reason. And I'm not saying that I'm the one that's got the answers, but in this dream specifically, because the Lord was obviously speaking to me, I was the one that was able to see that there was danger coming. And back to the reason why I'm wanting to share this with you is that I really felt like God is wanting to give each and every single one of us keys if we are willing to go look for it. If we're willing to say, okay, Lord, sure, I trust you. I'm going. I'm going to run out the back of the lodge, and I'm going to go over the hill to the beach, and I'm going to trust. And I'm trusting you, but you got to make a way. The Lord will give you the keys that you need for the challenges and the breakthrough that you're asking him for, really. And so we need to be in Jesus, rooted in him. And something that I was reminded of was, and there's quite a lot of theological debate around this, I suppose, and some people like them, some people don't. So if you're wearing it, don't feel bad. I've got nothing against it. In fact, I probably am a supporter of it, is those What Would Jesus Do bracelets. You know those? So some people say, theologically, it doesn't line up that well with you, and we can have another discussion about that at a later stage. But in actual fact, I actually like what they do in principle, actually. Because what are they doing? They are there as a reminder to say, okay, Lord, in every situation, I need to ask you. I need to seek you. Not only when you are moving jobs, not only when you have started dating someone and you're asking if that's the person that you need, but in all areas. And so that is the principle behind it is good and solid. And I think there's something that we can take away from that, is that we need to be a people that are constantly asking the Lord, what are you saying to me in the situation? Why? Because as I said before, we are in Christ and our life is not our own, and we don't just make our own decisions like that. That helps no one. You may think it helps you, but actually it doesn't. And that's the first part, those little What Would Jesus Do bangles. Yeah, they're good, but there's actually a better way. There's actually a better way. And I want to share with you before I close what that way is. The better way is this, and I'm going to say it as simple as possible, is to see him and to love him. And I'll tell you why I say that. It's because when you see Jesus and you fall in love with him, the eyes of your heart shift and the motivation of your heart and decisions change. And actually, you can't help. You can't help. John, what's your buddy's name, man? I can't help. Jackie Baker. I actually can't help falling in love with you. and I can't. I was going to go, but I know it goes higher as I start singing. I'm going to make a mess. So, but Jackie Baker is singing, "I Can't Help Falling in Love with You," and there's something so beautiful. I actually can't. When you fall in love with Jesus, I want to take it one step further. You can't help but surrendering and submitting every area and every decision of your life to Him. Why? Because you've seen the eyes of Jesus. And when you see Him, your life is changed forevermore. And so I might be saying this and it might be going over your head and you might be going, Daniel, I've heard many people say that and I've heard people preach it and I've heard it and I've read it, but how does that apply to me? Because you know what? Maybe you're even saying like, sure, when I look at Sid or when I look at John, we know John, he loves Jesus, you know, he told us. So he loves Jesus, you know, you can see it. But for me, it's very different. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand where I am. So like, it's very easy for you to just stand up there, you know, and say, oh, you need to fall in love with Jesus. But I want to say this. There's something so incredible. And I felt it once again in the prayer meeting about love. It is, I'm not a soft, sappy person in general. But funnily enough, actually, I believe that the Lord has changed me over the while. I cried everything, actually, now. So I actually am a soft, sappy person. But originally, I wasn't. And, the Lord has really done something beautiful. And I was told, and I've been told on a few occasions, and I loved what they said about you, Janine. Oh, my goodness, and I pray that for all of us. That when someone sees you, knows you from the past, they say that you're not the same person. I've had that said about me. And I'm like, yeah, man, thank you, Jesus. I know that if I had met most of you guys, I hope, if I'd met most of you guys 10 years ago, some of you, DeMay, you're not the same person, and I've only known you for a year, maybe a bit more. But, I would hope that people would say, you're not the same person that I knew, because God is doing a work, and He has done a work in your life. That I don't know why I got sidetracked. I was saying about, oh, yes. And there's something incredible about love is when you see the eyes of Jesus. And I want to be honest with you. It does sometimes, most of the time, it does come in a moment. But you need to be crying out for Him. And I hope that you are. I hope that the people in City on a Hill, Montana, are crying out for moments with Jesus. That you're positioning yourself for moments with Jesus. My moment came. A significant moment. I've had a few, but I think one of the biggest moments came was when we were in the old barn venue and Sid was leading and I was meant to be preaching and I was standing in the front and Jesus just told me how much He loved me. Like it was, that was real. It was audible. I really heard a voice and I thought it was someone, but then I knew it was God. And the worship was playing and I didn't preach. We just ended up sobbing, and Sid wasn't sure what was going on, and so he carried on, and I think he ended up preaching. Did I preach? I did preach, sorry. That was another time. But that time, thanks to that wife for details. But that time specifically was God spoke to me and showed me how much He loved me. And, oh my goodness, I've held on to that. I hold on to that thing because out of that place, and just to be honest, out of that place I'm able to love you guys. I'm able to love Him. I'm able to love my wife and my kids. That's the place that it all comes from. And it changes the way that I see Him. It changes the way that I make decisions. It changes the way that I live my life. Because why? It comes out of a place that I know that I have a real Father. Not some pie in the sky. A real Father who created the heavens and the earth. Who knows all the stars, called all the stars out. Knows the number of hairs on my head. Who loves me the way that He spoke to me about that He loves me. And it was overwhelming. And so there's something that I want to share with you guys is that we want to constantly be people that are driven and motivated and pushed forward by a sense of loving God, loving Him with everything that we are. Why? Because He loved us first. I want to show you, we got you in 2019 beginning, and I think about it just over a year, no, about 10 months later, we were in Burger Bistro venue. We've had quite a journey, eh, guys? Sure. I've shared two venues that we've already been in since we've been here. But we were in Burger Bistro venue. For those of you who don't know, it was a venue up there by the engine garage. And we were worshiping. And I remember the Lord just speaking to me. And I took a picture. Have you got that picture there, Yaku? And I sent it to Lionel. There's John. He loves Jesus. You can see he's right in front. Is that you there, Ben? Yeah, Lacka, Annalise. Looking for some other. Chanel? Hey? Yeah. Hands lifted high, praising Jesus. Beautiful. There's some others, I'm sure, there that I can't really make out. But it was a beautiful, beautiful time. And I remember the Lord saying to me, and I sent this to Lionel straight away. I quickly edited it. You can see it's not great editing. I just put the text in. Let our love for the Lord be our motivation. Let his love for us be our sustainability. And there was something like that the Lord just switched on. Everything that I do, every time I come and I maybe serve someone with coffee, or every time I stand with this microphone, or every time Yaku does something there, or every time a deacon does this, or every time you pray for someone, or every time you give someone an encouraging word, or every time you pack a chair, let our love for the Lord be your motivation. Let that be the reason why you're doing it. If you're doing it for me, you're in the wrong place. If you're doing it for one of the other elders, or to be seen, or to feel affirmed, you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're doing it for one reason and one reason alone, because you love Jesus, then you're in the right place. Because out of that place, when it gets tough, that love that you do it for him sustains you when it gets rough, when it gets tough. Oh, let the love of our God be our sustainability. When the going gets tough, when you're facing walls and trials and tribulations, and you've seen Jesus and you've realized how much he loves you, then that love will sustain you through your tough times and your dark times. So he's taking us on a journey. It's what I felt prophetically for us. I believe even for a congregation, he's taking us on a journey. And so I want to leave us with a few things. Position ourselves to see him. And what does that mean? How do we see him? Number one, spend time with him. Secret place, spend time with him. Worship in your car, spend time alone with him. I was speaking to someone, I don't want to name them because I don't want to rob them from anything, but they were saying they actually do what the Bible says. They go into the room and close the door. When last have you done that? Go into the room and close the door behind you. You and Jesus, go into the room and close the door. Don't do it in front of the TV. Or whatever. I'm just being facetious now, but I'm saying go into the room and close the door. It's a precious time. It's you and Jesus. Spend time with him. Spend time in his word and repent of sin. You want to see Jesus, and it's not a slot machine. It's not a formula. Not a recipe. I like using a recipe, but it's not a recipe. But there is some truth in that, and there's something beautiful that I can leave with you. If you're spending time with Jesus, alone with him, if you're spending time and seeking him, if you're spending time in his word and you're repenting of your sin, you will see him. He'll reveal himself to you. If you and it's an incredible thing, and you guys know this. If you're not repenting of sin, and I threw this in there because it's so important. If you're not repenting of sin, you're not going to see Jesus. He's going to withhold himself from you because there's pride in your heart. That's what it is. Not repenting of sin is pride in your heart. And we know that the Lord resists the pride. Simple as that. So, and I'm not saying you need to come and do it here and stand on the mic and repent of your sin. I'm saying that you get before the Lord and you say, oh Lord, I am so sorry for what I've done. And then, yes, you bring it into light and go and share it with a friend or a leader. But you want to see Jesus. You want to see Jesus. Spend time with him and repent of your sin. It's like just this incredible, it brings so much life. Brings so much life. I'm going to finish with these last few things quickly. Psalm 63 verses 1 to 4 says, and when I read this, I'm like, I don't think I can honestly say this. I would love to be able to say this genuinely with all I am, but I don't know if I can. Let's see if we can. I don't know. If you can really say this. Psalm 63, 1 to 4. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Because your steadfast love is better than life. In some other translations, I think in the NLT, it says, your unfailing love is better than life itself. Better than life itself. Isn't that just so amazing? So are you able to stand before and go, you know what, Lord, your love for me, that unfailing, steadfast love is better than the life that I have myself. Because actually, that's the one thing that I think we truly love above everything else is our own lives. You know, you can say you love someone. Yes, I love Claire. I do. I love her dearly. I really do. And I love my kids. And I think even as some dads, we could say, sure, you would. You would give your life for your children. You would. I think most dads would do that. But really, is there something that you can say that, oh, your love for me, God, is worth to me more than my life itself, to everything that I have, that unfailing, steadfast love? And I want to praise, I loved it. I want to praise you with my lips in verse 3. What does it say? Because your steadfast love, my lips will praise you. And then verse 4 says, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. There's something that the Lord, I think in these last days, those are the people that he's looking for. There's so much rubbish around in the Western church today. So much rubbish. So much counterfeit, so much fake, so much lack of authenticity, so much comfort, so much convenience, so much what your itchy ears want to hear. So little of that. And I believe in this last age, the Lord is looking for those that can earnestly say I don't want to actually not quote it. Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I'll bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. He's looking for those people, man. Oh my goodness. I want to be that person. I believe when he comes again, that's what he's looking for. That to me is a pure and spotless bride. Not how many numbers you have, not how many people, how many church plants you've done, which is all beautiful because they go and reach the nations. Not the sound, not the stage, not how well you preach. I believe that there is what he's looking for. It's a deep, deep, deep desire for God. A desperation, a deep cries out to deep as the deer pants for the water. So my soul longs for you. I love that scripture. There's something so beautiful for it. Where there is no water, you find your sustenance in him. Oh, man. So when you love someone or something, all right, your everything revolves around that thing. Another word for that is obviously an idol. Just wanted to throw, in case you weren't sure, but it is. When you love someone or something with your everything, what happens is your decisions, your time, your weekends, your planning revolve around that thing. I know, because that soccer was an idol for me. So my whole week was planned around when I had training, when match days were on, when Man United were playing on TV. That's how my schedule was planned. Not what Claire wanted to do would have to fall into that. Even what my kids needed would have to fall into that. Even so much so when Claire hurt herself badly, I was playing on a soccer field and I couldn't tear myself away from there. And I had justification. We've spoken about this. Don't worry. It's a wound that we have dealt with and we have worked through. But so much, that's how strong that pull of that idol was. But we are called to love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength and mind. If you're not living in him that way, you probably haven't opened up your heart to let him in and your eyes to see him. And so my prayer for us before I close is that when you do, because I do know this is a challenge. I know it's a challenge for many because I've been through it. Remember, I don't preach to you guys. When I speak from here, I'm speaking of stuff that I've been through. So I know spending time with him is not always easy. I know making time for him is not always easy. But what I want to ask is that you will find a place, when you do spend time with him, you'll find a place to ask him to reveal himself to you. And when he reveals himself to you, Jean and I always talk about this. When you see Jesus, when you see him, you can't be the same. Just when you see him, trust me on this, guys, and trust the Bible on this. When you see Jesus, you can't be the same. When you see him, you fall in love with him. And so you'll talk to someone. You will. When you talk to someone and you see that they're in love with Jesus, you can see it in their eyes. They've seen Jesus. And that is my prayer for us as a congregation, that we'll be a people that have seen Jesus, that you've set aside time. You've set aside time, and when you do pray, and when you don't need to pray for finances and for your marriage, those are good things to pray for, but what I do want to ask is that we pray to see Jesus, that we fall more in love with him, because when we do, our lives take a different path and a different journey. And I want to close with this quickly. Last thing is I heard something on, Hannah was listening to on the 412 app, Mornay van der Walt is doing a teaching for foundations, and he was talking about baptism, and she put it on a status or something, I don't know, but I saw she came and showed it to me, and I was like, that is incredible, talking about baptism. And it says, so when we go to be baptized, we get there, the pool maybe, or a dam or a lake, but all your friends are there and the pastor's there and he's going to pray for you and it's amazing and you're really making a decision. But what you do first is you quickly take off your Nikes and you take off your watch and you take your phone off. You take your phone out of your pocket, you put your wallet down. You've got your driver's license and your identity in it and all that kind of stuff. You put it all down there. And you take off your new jacket that you got, maybe it's a Ferrari jacket or whatever, and you put that down, and then you get in the water. And then you come out, and then you put the watch back on, and the phone back in the pocket, and your ID book, which has got your driver's license, which is your identity, and your lack of clothes, and your shoes, and the cash in your pocket. And it's like, yo, that's actually not what the Lord asked. He asked that all of that stuff, I'm just using it as a picture, he asked that all of that stuff goes into the grave. All of that. Your identity, your finances, your time, your watch, all of that stuff goes in. And what comes out is a new creation. What comes out is someone new that is completely submitted to Jesus Christ. Yeah, so just something I felt for us. I feel like the dream does mean something. I feel like we will have testing. I feel like the enemy wants to take us out. He's always looking to take us out, so that's not even a revelation. That's just the bottom line. So we need to be on our guard. But I do feel like in this next season that we need to be a people that are close to Jesus, that are in love with him, that are seeking him, not living our own lives and trying to figure it out. That's such a horrible way to do this. Such a long way around. Let Jesus direct your path. Let him show you where to go left and where to go right. It's just a way of fruitfulness and life. Sure. So, yeah. I'm not going to ask for actually a response now. I put here in my notes here, response. That's like so cliche, like response, you know, as if that's the right thing to do when you're preaching. But the Lord has done what he needs to do in your hearts. And if you're feeling something that you need to do, then I'll trust that you will do that between you and Jesus. It's got nothing to do with me, actually. You go and do that with Jesus when you can. Right. So the reason that we're here today is obviously to meet with Jesus, okay? You thought I was going to say something else, but that's the main reason. We get together because we love each other and we love Jesus. But obviously it's a really big day for a family today. The Hart family, so significant that that's their surname. And so